Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have. Go to buywithrob.com today.
Peter, have you seen Stewie's Speedy Gonzalez video? He won't go to sleep without it.
I throw it away.
What? What the hell, man? I don't throw away your stuff. And where's my goat?
Peter, why would you do that?
Because Speedy Gonzalez is an immigrant and a bad influence on our children. So I created his American equivalent, Rapid Dave.
Hey, this is Whitey from the Hill Evangelist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul. Hopefully, we can rise above partisan politics in order to support national security.
The fact is, we all agree we need to secure our borders while honoring our values. We can build the infrastructure and roads at our ports of entry.
We can reopen the government and continue to work through disagreements over policy.
It didn't matter. They could have given a Gettysburg Address and it wouldn't have mattered. He didn't want to be. I've been more excited about colonoscopies than he was in giving a speech tonight.
You hear that? What do you think it is?
Immigrants. That's how they do, you know? Just drive around listening to raps and shooting all the jobs.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today, most of them far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause, thought about life, thought about laws of gravity, Congress shutdowns. And our new robot overlords. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. I feel like crap. I really do. I'm not anywhere near 100%. I feel like a truck ran over me, followed by a steamroller, followed by the USC marching band, and I still could have done a better job than our so-called leaders did last night speaking to us. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email is dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web. Go to the DaveBowmanShow.com or podcast99.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for The Dave Bowman Show. Ego biberi capulus et ali viveri. I drink coffee so that today I can live, but usually so other people can live. I really do. I feel like absolute crap. I mean, this is bad. I knew I should have stayed home last night. I wasn't feeling good last night. And Ben has the voice thing going. He's obviously had the cold already. His voice is gone, and so mine is going. And I should have stayed home, but got talked into going to a free comedy show out at the local Indian casino here, where one of the comics was actually from Mumbai, India. And his lead joke was, how about that? I'm the only Indian at an Indian casino, which was kind of funny. It was a good show. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we laughed, we ate, we drank. And then what I didn't do last night was watch the speech because, again, I have my opinion about what this whole shutdown is. And my opinion is that it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with morals. It's nonsense. It's typical government kabuki theater. It's just a power struggle. That's all this is. So I did not watch the speech live. I figured as I sat there drinking my Ridgetop Red beer and a margarita or two or six, that my phone would blow up. I would be getting texts and tweets and posts and everybody commenting on how the thing went. And so we went to the show, and of course, this free show turns out to cost you quite a bit of money because it's an Indian casino. So number one, yeah, sure, you get in to see the comics for free, but, you know, there's no minimum, but you want some food, you want some beer, you want a drink, and then, you know, you're feeling pretty good when the show is over because you've been laughing your butt off for an hour and a half. and the only way out to the parking lot is through the gaming tables. And some months ago, Rob, my business partner, my cousin, took me to another place where they taught me a game that I just could not, while I was sitting there playing the game, I couldn't get it. It's called Flushes. And I was just having a hard time getting it. I mean, it was kicking my butt. But I was winning. And I don't have any idea. I still don't know how I was winning. But I walked away from the table $100 richer. I had no idea what I was doing. So I went home and started studying the game. I got a version on my computer now that I play. And now I understand the game. Now I know what I'm doing. So, of course, we go to play last night and I just get cleaned out. That's the problem with gambling, right? Anyway, I did that instead of watching the speech, which in retrospect, I was surprised because there was very little activity last night. There were no tweets. There were no, I mean, virtually none. Nothing was really going on. Nothing was really happening. I got one text from Randy who said, no national emergency. That was pretty much it. So we're all waiting for the president to declare a national emergency, which he didn't do, which, again, if you're not going to do that, why schedule the speech? We were all expecting the wall is coming. We were all expecting the Jon Snow thing. We were all expecting, here's the emergency. Here's the declaration. I want the wall. And we got none of that. We got none of that. We got this. We got him talking about morals, and we got him talking about things that, you know, this is important. This should have been done already. This should have been handled. This should have been done. And quite frankly, I mean, I didn't vote for Trump. I didn't vote for Hillary either, but I didn't vote for Trump. But I have no axe to grind here. But there's something wrong with politicians across the board. And the problem is the teleprompter. The problem is it turns them into robots. In fact, I really think robot voices could have done it better. They should have just fed it into one of these things you can get online where it, you know, text-to-speech translators, and then just had someone with a string or something pull Nancy Pelosi's mouth up and down like they do with the Muppets and Schumer's mouth and Trump's mouth for that matter. It was so bad. And I realized this morning, that's why people are stunned by it. People are looking at this going, what the hell is wrong with these people? It's like literally like if somebody has a hand stuck up their butts into their mouth and is, you know, they're marionettes. They get on television and they just become zoned out. They just stare at the camera. They don't blink. They don't move. Could be the Botox. I don't know. But they just stand there and go, the purpose of this shutdown is outrageous. The president has got his way, will not get his immoral. I tried to watch it this morning. I really did. Because I didn't watch it live last night. I had better things to do. Comics to watch. I had people that actually know how to communicate to participate with. That's why I like going to comedy shows, because I love seeing comics communicate. Comedians, particularly the really good ones, they have a way of reaching out and communicating with people. It's funny because I was, you know, we were talking about it after the show, and the fact that one of the things they do is they always have rookie comics, people that come over from they actually have a comedy school in Seattle, believe it or not, where people learn how to be stand-up comics. And so one of the things they do is they always invite a couple of these people to these shows to get their feet wet, to practice, to kind of, you know, get a part of it. And they're always, what's the word? Awkward, I guess, is the best word, because they don't know how to respond. And it's very much like radio, folks. It really is. One of the hardest things I had to do to get used to radio. And I'm a public speaker. I grew up in the Navy. I was a teacher. I was a naval instructor. I'm used to speaking to a room full of kids. And then I became a pastor. I know it's a long story, but it's true. And so you speak to an audience on a fairly regular basis. I'm used to dealing with an audience. I'm used to talking to people live. But then you go into radio, and in radio, it's different because there's nobody there. It's just a blank wall. If you could see what's in front of me right now, you would see three monitors. Well, one is actually a TV. two monitors and a blank wall, literally blank wall. And it's within two arms reach distance. And the same thing happens in radio. There's no pushback. There's no way to know whether or not you're communicating to people. There really isn't. Maybe you get a phone call, but if you tell a joke, nobody laughs. And you watch these new comics and they go through the same thing. They get that really awkward stares where they want to say something. I'm a comic and I'm here to, you know, entertain you. It's kind of funny to watch. And then you see the really good comics that come on later and they can communicate. And even though they can't see the audience, that's the thing I realized about third way through the show last night, was because the way the lights were set, they can't see us. They don't know how we're reacting. They can't make eye contact. They can't do anything. Well, the same thing happens with teleprompters. The same thing happens to politicians. When they're in front of a crowd that's cheering and all that, it's, you know, a little bit of passion, a little bit of whatever. But you put them on television and they literally just turn into that. They literally just turn into zombies. They literally just turn into robots. They just sit there and the president is wrong about this shutdown. We need to move the American people forward by passing legislation today to reopen parts of the government. And you can see their eyes following the teleprompter. And don't, you know, I realize I'm kind of picking on Schumer and Pelosi, but Trump did exactly the same thing. That's the most animated photograph of the whole thing right there. It was really, watching it this morning was really sad. It really was. There's no passion in this. There's no feeling. There's no nothing to get fired up about. And part of the problem that they have is that there's no reason to get fired up about this. This whole thing is just an act. The whole thing is just theater. The whole thing is fake. It has nothing to do with money. Nothing whatsoever. $5 billion, we can't afford that. Blah, 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 blah. You haven't heard any of them say that. It has nothing to do with morality. I know Nancy Pelosi said that. The wall is immoral. She knows it's not. But it's just a talking point. This whole thing has nothing to do with morality. It has nothing to do with money. It's a power struggle. That's all it is. The guy we don't like wants something and we don't want to give it to him. If the guy that was in the office, if it was Hillary Clinton in that office saying we need a wall, Democrats would be on a wall and Republicans would be, we don't want a wall. We can't afford it. We can't. No. That's the ridiculousness of all of this, is that it's just an act. It's just a power struggle. If one side or the other gives in, then the other side shoves the knife between their ribs and says, we won. See, we won. We stopped the evil people from doing what they wanted to do. Or we did what we wanted to do, or whatever. It's nonsense. It's absolute, total, and complete nonsense. As far as affordability of the wall goes, well, people have pointed out that $5 billion is, well, it's nothing. You know, I mean, in the world of when our government spends, $5 billion really isn't a lot of money. I mean, it is a lot of money, but they don't tend to think of it as a lot of money. It's like it's less than 0.01% of the entire federal budget. It's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket, as they say. So therefore, financially, there's no reason to do it. Now, I understand the argument. I understand that debate. I understand that philosophy that says, well, this is minor. This is nothing. We can afford this. It's no big deal. But the truth of the matter is that nobody's thinking about the fact that we don't, you know, on the books, we don't really have that kind of money, do we? We just keep printing more. I know. I understand as well as anybody, I understand the economic system that says we can afford to do this, you know, and we have assets and blah, blah, blah. I get that. But we continue to run record deficits, our deficit now running in the trillions. It's just, there's something flawed in the idea that we just look at $5 billion and go, ho-hum, It's nothing. And then, of course, comes the counter argument. Well, but we're going to spend $10 billion. We're going to send $10 billion to Mexico and Nicaragua and these other countries in South and Central America to do whatever. Remember that last week? Well, we can spend $10 billion on that, but not $5 billion on the wall. Why is that? Now, that starts a whole other argument, doesn't it, about foreign aid? Yeah, because foreign aid, foreign aid, bad. Foreign aid, terrible. Foreign aid is horrible. In 2018, I don't know if you knew this or not, 2018, countries apparently, I didn't know this. See, I thought the way foreign aid worked was Congress people go to Congress and a bunch of people show up and the Congress people have concerns about places and they just decide to help out countries. Apparently there are requests made. Now, whether those requests are made by the countries themselves or by agents acting on their behalf, whatever, not really relevant. But in 2018, trillion was requested by various countries, right? That's trillion, right? Billion, trillion. No, it's billion. 28 billion was requested by various countries around the world. 28 billion. I'm going to get it right here. 28 billion was requested. Our expenditures ended up somewhere around 53 billion. And so this becomes the argument. Well, we can spend $53 billion on other countries, but we can't spend $5 billion on our own. What the heck's up with that? My question to anybody involved with this is, how would you even know where we spent that money? I mean, seriously, how would you know? As it turns out, the government has a website. They can actually show you what you would dispense. So like Russia here is not getting anything better. Kazakhstan, we appropriated $8 million to Kazakhstan. I have no idea why. I don't know what it did. Let's see. What is that? Brazil. We sent Brazil $11 million. We spent Chile $689,000. We spent $43 million in Angola. Let's pick one of my favorite places, Mali. We spent $145 million in Mali. And most people don't even know where Mali is. Let's see, Vietnam, we spent $135 million. Mongolia, $5.1 million. Malaysia, Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, we only spent $9,000. It's bizarre to me when you start thinking in terms of what this foreign aid is and what it's doing, and none of us know. That's the problem. None of us understand any of this stuff. None of us understand what's going on. And so we throw out a meme. Well, we could spend $53 billion worldwide, but not $5 billion for the wall. And that becomes our argument. That becomes our position. That becomes our memes. Oddly enough, the government actually has a website where they talk about foreign aid being less than 1% of our entire budget. Does that sound familiar to anybody? As it turns out, foreign aid is just a drop in the bucket. It's just we can afford it. It's not important. And it brings us goodwill across the world, right? I mean, if you understood the good things about foreign aid, everybody, 69% of Americans oppose foreign aid until we talk to them about what good job it's doing. After we talk to them, according to their own research, it's like 75% of the people they talk to change their mind, and all of a sudden they're okay with foreign aid. Is that weird? How amazing is that? How amazing that all of a sudden things turn around. Whether or not the money is spent or allocated really isn't the issue here. You get into the moral debates. The moral debates about whether or not we should have a wall or not. Now, look, I've said this before and I will say it again. Fortifications are monuments to the stupidity of man. That's not my philosophy of life. That's George S. Patton's philosophy of life. Why? Because walls, they work to a point. The problem is everybody says, well, Israel built a wall, Dave. Yeah, I know. And they back it up with people with guns and they shoot people who try to cross the wall. Are we going to do that? No, we're not going to. We are not going to put guns in pillboxes and guard towers. We're not going to shoot people who try to cross the wall. So what's the disincentive to not cross the wall? What's... Okay, it makes it harder. I get that. But we're already talking about a place where tunnels are dug underneath the border, ships go around, people go over. The Great Wall of China didn't work, folks. When the time came for it to keep out the Mongol hordes, the bureaucrats opened the gates and said, come on in. It's history. Walls only work if you're willing to guard them. If you're not willing to guard them, they're just monuments to the stupidity of man. That's all they are. Just like Patton said. The Siegfried Line was the same way. That's what he kept trying to tell Eisenhower, was the Siegfried Line is just, it's just a myth. It's just a wall they built, but it's not manned by anybody. We can smash through it. It's no big deal. And he was right. If you're not willing to back up the wall with guns, with people ready to shoot people, they're not really going to work. I guarantee you that these big wigs that have these walls around their houses, they have guards on the inside of that. Following it up, powering, making sure that there's a backup to that. But in the meantime, we're not willing to do that. And that's why I've generally said the wall really, it's not going to do what you think it's going to do. It's not going to stop people. It never has. It never will. $5 billion might be a drop in the bucket, but so is $53 billion for foreign aid that's drops in the bucket. But the problem becomes this has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with morality. It's all about power. That's all this is. This is nothing but a power struggle between congressional won't and presidential will. That's it. That's all this is. It wouldn't matter who the president was. If he had an R after his name, Democrats would say no. If he had a D after his name, Democrats would say yes, and Republicans would say no. That's all this is. And the way you can tell that is by their response and their speech, which is delivered with absolutely no passion, no involvement, no interest, nothing. A robot could have done it better for both sides. In fact, it would have been more entertaining. It would have been more interesting because the robot voices would have at least had some pretend inflection and passion to it. And neither of these groups did. Neither the president nor the Democrat response had any emotion to it at all. It was as if they were just reading. Well, they were just reading it off the teleprompter because we have to do this. And as Carville said, none of them wanted to be there. I'd rather go through a colonoscopy than deal with this. And until we understand that, until we the people accept it, and I think we kind of did last night. I think the lack of passionate response by the American people to either side of this is indicative of the fact that we've realized that these people are just, they're just actors on a stage, and they're not even good actors. They're beginning comics. They're just like those people at the beginning of the show. You might have a label that says you're a comedian, but, you know, your little 5-minute set at the beginning of the show, it's awkward. At best, it's awkward. You might have a joke or two or a line or two that works, but reality is you're just not very good at this. And none of these people last night delivered anything that made anybody go, that's interesting, and I should get involved with that. I should be on board with that. None of this was Kennedy-esque, John F. Kennedy. None of this was, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. None of it was delivered with any emotion, any passion, any interest at all. It was de rigueur. They had to be there because the person we don't like was speaking, so we've got to go out and say something in response. That's all it was. Trump's speech had nothing of any value in it, nothing of any interest in it. He didn't declare the national emergency, which is literally the only way out of this whole thing. You understand that, right? The national emergency declaration is the only way that they're going to get this government open. Because Trump's going to declare a national emergency, declare victory. He's going to get his wall. He's going to get his money. The Democrats are going to sue him in court. And in the meantime, they'll decide to reopen the government. And then Trump, if he wins in court, he'll get his wall. If he doesn't win in court, then he'll say, well, I tried to get it, but the Democrats blocked me. That's it. That's all this is. That's the entirety of this whole thing. And in the meantime, we got to sit here and twiddle our thumbs and go, what a dumb act this is. And the only, you know, the only thing about that comedy show last night, like I said, was it was a free show. Of course, it isn't, because you end up drinking and then you end up gambling and you end up eating. And so the free comedy show ends up costing you a lot more than $0 and a hell of a lot more than the $7 I spent on a beer. Like I said, now that I know how to play the game, I'm no good at it. When I didn't know how to play the game, I could win. You could make that argument that the only thing I'm good about this is at least it didn't cost us anything, but it is costing us anything. We're paying these idiots, all of them, to stand there and talk like this to the American people with unblinking eyes as they tell us about what is important to them as leaders of the United States of America. It's pathetic. It's embarrassing. And it's pointless. No shutdown has ever gotten anything that anybody wants. Oh, well, we got 0.0009% budget cuts. Oh, we got Obamacare. Oh, we got this. Next day or two, Trump will declare the emergency. He'll get his victory. Democrats will get their victory in court. And nothing will change. Nothing. Nothing will change. And at the end of the day, how many millions of dollars will we have spent on this waste of time? Oh, and in the meantime, we're telling the Coast Guard to go out and rescue ships. We had another one capsized this morning, but we're not going to pay you. Yeah, it's worthwhile, huh? It's a good thing that we know what we're doing, because otherwise we would be not leaders. Sad. Got to get running. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Alive, I'm Dave Bowman, and this is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, on demand at thedavebowmanshow.com and podcast99.org. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow, I hope, this voice, if it holds up. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.